Hello, my name's Richard Sparks. I'm the author of New Rock, New Realm, a fantasy adventure story published by the science fiction and fantasy house Kazik, SF&F.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Richard Sparks, author of New Rock, New Realm.
So book three is going to be coming out soon. You're actively writing on book four, if I followed you correctly.
I'm writing book five.
Oh, book five. I've been
book four's in the can. I'm waiting for my notes from my editor, Leslie Robin, on book three. When she gets those to me, I'll do the polish.
Okay.
But one of the things I've learned, 40 years of script writing, is story structure, which is the least natural thing for any writer. Most of us would say that's the hardest thing, is getting that right, writing dialogue or... characters you're inventing is much more easy, but story structure is hard, and especially in film. But when you've been through meeting after meeting after meeting with people saying, what the old joke is, how many studio executives does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is, does it have to be a light bulb? That's what you get in the meetings. Does it have to be this? Does it have to be that? And you're always talking about what's wrong with the script, not what's right with it, trying to fix it and what's possible. So that really teaches you how to look at story structure from the outside. And, if you don't get your head around it, you're fired. You don't work on that gig. And if you want to take it through to completion, you have to learn how to be part of a team, which you're very much not when you're writing books, and which is why some people who go from book writing to film writing have a hard time adjusting. I mean, was that the 50 Shades of Grey? Wasn't that I think the writer of that was very, very much on top of it all the time, and I was not necessarily judged to have improved the work. But I don't know, I haven't seen it and I haven't read the books, but what one heard that and I'm probably talking out of turn, but it's a group effort much more than writing a book is.
Totally.
Anyway, you learn that all the necessary things about story structure while going through all this, and so when I get my notes back from my editor, there won't be any problems with the story structure. If I was to send her book five now, half written, she'd go through it and say, "What's the?" She'd pull all the threads that need to be pulled that I'll be pulling when I do my rewrite, when I go through it, because I've got to do things. And then, I know that they've got to be explained, but I'm just writing, and but then you get it into shape, so it's. What I want to write is something that people just read as a breeze. 90% of the work you don't see is under it's like an iceberg, and you get the book and you have a blast and you go through it. That's my job done. My job is not to give you problems to think about that step in the way. It's not to bore you to death. It's not to unload exposition on you. The exposition dump is something that you learn not to do very quickly. And that just holds up the reading.
Let's talk about story structure for a minute, because this is fascinating, and I want to help the audience and maybe myself really understand what is meant by that. And I'll go ahead and take a shot what I think is meant by that. Story structure is, if you're just talking about one novel, you're talking about how do the elements that you're writing about fit together to tell a story.
That's a very good definition. Yeah, that would be perfect. How does it all hold together? And if you find yourself, you're getting through and you've got 300 pages in, and you say, "Oh, wait a minute," and you pull a tiny little thread and the whole section falls to bits.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't just put it back together again and pretend, no, because someone else will spot it. And you go, "Oh, that needs to be fixed." And the basic way to think about it is that all stories are set up and pay off. So if you want something to pay off or it wants to pay off in a certain way, you let it. But you've got to make sure it's set up. A perfect example of this would be Game of Thrones, the TV series, where we had 10 series. I mean, we watched them every Sunday. We gripped, my wife and I. It was destination television. Really enjoyed it. And yeah. I don't really watch television, to be honest, because I've written so much. But it was great. It was good stuff. And then towards the end, it just fell to bits because set up and payoff hadn't been done. They wanted it to pay off with this dramatic thing where the girl goes mad and sets fire to a town, and it's not set up. You can't do that. If you want to set it up earlier, put your roots down, lay trails of breadcrumbs through the story that something's going to happen. Yeah. You can't just do an abrupt heel turn like that. I mean, really let the wonderful work of the previous seasons down. And I'm not alone in thinking this.
Well, you know, thank you for bringing that up, because my wife and I I lived in China during that period of time, and I never saw Game of Thrones. And I came back, and everybody's talking about it. And I know George R.R. Martin because I'm from the Seattle area. I've met him personally, but I've never read his work, to be honest. I'm less of a fantasy guy, and I'm more of a hard science fiction guy. But we watched the HBO series recently. We binged watched, I think it was last year. And it was frankly fantastic. And I heard everyone tell me, oh yeah, the last two seasons are just going to let you down and blah, blah, blah. And I honestly enjoyed it. And so I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I do sense and feel the letdown, because most of the story was about building the princess, I forgot her full name, up. And then... Yeah. And the only connection you can have with craziness is that her ancestors were crazy, you know? And so that's kind of the label that they gave her. And the only hint you got was she was starting to get jealous of her boyfriend / the Prince of North when he was, I don't recall, he was like looking, there was a relationship thing going on.
Well, he turns out to be the hidden king, the hidden prince.
Right.
Because, and that was all hidden very well by George during the building of the four novels, because he thinks he's just a bastard. Right. What he doesn't realize is that his adopted father is protecting him by not letting anyone know that he's got this secret, that he's the heir to the kingdom. So that was really well done. But then how do you come out of that? How do you make that pay off? Because the girlfriend, Daenerys, who was also somebody from a poor background, mm-hmm. who sold off to a rich lord to be a young bride in the first season. And she turns out to be somebody who's got far more going on for her than she realizes. How do you bring those elements together? Well, they didn't do it. I'm sure George will get it right when he finishes the books, but it was really left, you know, honestly, if they'd had the chance, they would have sorted out the ending before they start writing. Mm. When I had the idea for New Rock, New Roll, the first thing I thought was, how did you explain this? What's the answer? I had the idea of, wow, what would it be like to be? And then I thought, well, how do I explain it? And the answer came instantly. I go, oh, yeah, that explains it. Oh, right. Oh, that's good. Let's write it. But I had the ending, and it's delivered. And often in television series, you get endings that just have gone on past the date that they need. I look at Jumping the Shark. That came from Happy Days, didn't it? Just on and on and on until everyone goes, oh, come on, enough of this stuff already. So that television is, of course, very greedy and wants to get more seasons out of things, because a hit show is a hit show. It's worth having. So there's quite a lot to play with in all that. But if you're writing a book, you have to know where you're going to land. And I'm not talking about the story so much, how the plot ends, but the actual setup. How do you explain everything? And I want, you know, another of my favorite books is Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, which is a remarkably good book. It's so well constructed, and it's entertaining. It's got a lot in it. And I love the audio version done by Will Wheaton, who reads brilliantly. Now, the problem with that book is it completes so perfectly that there is no possible sequel. There just isn't. So the sequel is written, in which the hero is now, instead of being, you know, a feisty kid with nothing from the wrong side of the tracks, is now king of the virtual world. Where do you go from there with him?
Right.
You know, and also, how do you, and then the villain turns out to be completely, you know, the hero, the villain of the first book reappears in some stuff he's laid in completely illogically. And it's sort of squished together as if to make a fast-paced two-hour film.
Yeah.
But I really felt sorry for Ernest Cline, because that first book is so good that he must have been absolutely so frustrated. Why can't I do it again? And I don't know. I think I would have said to him, there is no sequel to this. You have to start with different characters. Yeah. Because this, you know, really, I mean, that's a script writer, script editing problem. We could have had many, many meetings going, does it have to be a light bulb?
Yeah.
If you wanted to make that. But obviously, I know he must have been, you know, the film was made and people obviously wanted a sequel. So there must have been, you know, he must have been well paid to do that. And he must have really, really wanted to do it. But, you know, it's sort of, when you're stuck, like, it's really difficult. And I hate to say things that might sound like I'm criticizing a writer I admire, which I'm not. I'm just talking about the blunt truths of story structure.
And now in your situation with, you were talking about how it's getting harder to write the books. Is this a story structure challenge? Is that what this is?
Yes, okay. It is. Yes, it definitely is. It may be that book five doesn't come to fruition. But as I said, book four completes the series, completes the tetralogy. The four books hang together, and there's an ending to the characters that happens there that is really satisfactory. And you go, oh, that's just, you know, that's a good completion. So now I'm moving on to what happens next. And there's a lot of funny stuff which is giving me hope, but it's not flowing as easily as the other books did, because I'm actually sort of doing the same, but I'm sort of doing different, and I've got to pull it all together, and we'll see. I have a feeling if I get book five completed, I have a feeling book six is going to be a lot easier, because I think I've got a better idea of what to do next. But you know, I hope I can pull this one off.
Yeah. Oh well. Good. Best of luck to you on that. It's
thank you.
Yeah.
If you enjoy listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts, but find it difficult to remember to check the website for new shows, get this technology from the future! Install into your phone a podcast player. Using this, you can subscribe to our podcast feed, and next thing you know, you'll be cruising around in your car with your phone plugged in, playing Sci-Fi Thoughts, or you'll be out there jogging, or you'll be doing whatever you want to do. And have your ears plugged into some cool science fiction programming. You can find instructions on LancerKind.com. Guess what? We have more, folks. More value for you in the show notes. The show notes show up right in your podcast player if that's what you are using to listen to this podcast. However, if you downloaded this as an MP3 from a webpage, go back to the webpage where you downloaded it, and there you will see the show notes. The series started at episode 327. You can find that episode by going to scifithoughts.space and type into the search box there with the episode number that you missed, and it will help you right out. Next episode, more Richard Sparks.
See, the interesting thing is, writing books is a long project. It's not like, you know, writing a song. You know, I've written a number of songs that have been recorded, and they're short and they're done, they're 3 minutes long and they're out, and then people go to them and then they go their own way. Building a book brand, you know, getting them known is a process. You know? And there are 5-7 million books published a year now with self-publishing. And there used to be 500,000 to 700,000, but now it's millions. And of course, not all of them are properly edited or have had enough drafts or have been completed. So it's quite a cluttered landscape. And to get your head above the parapet and get people to say, oh, I like this one. First of all, you've got to get it to them. So it's a long process.